Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, and hopefully this evening we're going to have Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien on the line with us, and we're going to be talking about mind control. We're going to be talking about the tragedy at Virginia Tech, and of course those of you who have read the writings of Mark Phillips or listen to the 4-tape set we have on mind control, where we actually interview Mark, will know that he had worked for many years with the CIA on various mind control and the society reformation as restructuring programs. Now, Mark cannot talk about that because even though he's been away from the Central Intelligence Agency for many years, information is classified, and he would be put in a very difficult position if he were to admit anything at all about what he knows about CIA mind control, at least what he learned when he was there. But he certainly can talk about the overall concept that the government has been working here in this country, I'm sure right along with the programs in Great Britain at Tavistock, to learn how to control individual minds, to learn how to control the group think, as it were. And so often we have people come to us and say, you know, I try to tell people what's going on in the world today, and they don't want to hear it. They just automatically turn off. Their eyes get glazed over, and it's unfortunate, but they've done a pretty good job of repeatedly traumatizing the American people, and as a result, so many people either cannot or will not look objectively at what's going on. Well, let's see. Is this Mark or Kathy?
Yes, it is, Dr. Stan. Good evening, sir.
Hey, thank you so very much for being with us this evening again. Mark was on this morning. We had a little mix-up and a little problem, so he was good enough to come on again this evening because there's so much to talk about. So you pick up your thoughts on what's going on in America, and if you have any thoughts at all about what we know about this really strange young man back at Virginia Tech, who was able to fire one shot every 3 seconds with incredible accuracy, certainly almost that of a trained killer during his rampage there at Virginia Tech.
Actually, it was actually quite remarkable, Dr. Stan, in as much as this fellow had no formal training. There is an ROTC program for Marines there on the Virginia Tech campus. This young man was not enrolled, although I did find pictures of him in that in one of their uniforms, which is illegal, but it's on the internet. And there's another fellow with him, both of them wearing a mask, but I don't know if the picture is genuine or if it's gone through some sort of digital computer work. Bottom line is, though, Dr. Stan, this fellow was not a trained shooter. He had never taken any classes. He had gone to a shooting range, as best as anyone knows, for the first time only a week previous, and had only been there for about a half an hour and then left. Now, this young man was not one that played video games, so he had no eye-hand coordination previous programming or training through any sort of video game or anything else. He didn't even play video games. And I would love to blame video games on this, but I can't do it. The point is I'm making is that it's highly suspicious that anyone, I mean, the people in your listening audience...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. You go ahead, pick the story up there.
Okay. People in your listening audience that are proficient with handguns, it took them either professional training or years to be able to shoot with accuracy. Even though you may be at point-blank range, if you're shooting weapons, particularly heavy caliber weapons like 9mm and above, up to, you know, 45s or whatever, there's a certain amount of recoil, there's a certain amount of noise, there's a certain amount of smoke, there's a certain amount of shock value to the human psyche that would keep you from actually hitting the target in such a way that you could actually kill someone very quickly. And he was shooting each person three times. Now, he did shoot 170 rounds, but a good many of those rounds he was not aiming at anything. So the peculiarities here continue to build. The fact that DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Agency, which is, I consider, the number one most dangerous secret laboratory situation that we've got in this country. They develop all the exotic weapons and weaponry and concept weapons for the Pentagon. And they work with other companies like Bell Labs and Westinghouse, and there's a number of other subcontractors that they do some work with, but by and large, DARPA works alone. And they've got, they have a location built into the side of the mountain there in Blacksburg, Virginia. And, of course, I was aware of this location, not only from my previous employment, I never spoke of it. And when Kathy, when we were driving to Washington one day to speak, we drove through that area, and Kathy told me, she said, "There's a place nearby here that I was taken on a fairly regular basis." And I said, "Well, where is it?" She said, "It's Blackbeard or Black something." And I said, "Well, maybe you can just show me where it is." And she did. This is a highly classified location, Dr. Stan. And only in recent years has it even, I mean, there's very little mention anywhere. And I don't know that, aside from it being mentioned in Kathy's recollections, that it shows up anywhere.
In fact, that's a book called Access Denied, which we do carry, and we certainly got many, many requests for that book after the material. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we were just talking with Mark Phillips. He was referring to something in Kathy O'Brien's book, Access Denied, that actually talked about a special top secret intelligence laboratory, DARPA. Now, DARPA is one of those government agencies, one of those black agencies.
Very black.
And of course, involved in, you know, the secret work, mind control experiments, how to destroy minds and personalities and build them back up again and create Manchurian candidates and dissociative personalities. And Kathy O'Brien was actually taken there when she was under CIA mind control, and she talks about that there's a reference to this fact in.
There's many, many, many references to it. As a matter of fact, there's a whole chapter dedicated to it. But I'm looking here at a copy of Access Denied where Kathy has gone and earmarked the pages, and it looks like the whole thing is nothing but earmarks. I didn't realize, I had forgotten there was that many references to DARPA's facility there in Blacksburg, but it's there.
And of course, this is right next to Virginia Tech. Does it have any significance? We really don't know, do we?
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, let me just go through a scenario with you. When someone is suffering from a specific or any number of specific psychiatric illnesses that would make them malleable for mind control, I'm talking about the type that would create a sleeper or someone who would not have any conscious awareness of what they could be triggered into doing. these very, very much like you hear about all the time how Al-Qaeda's got sleeper cells here, and you'll hear sleeper cell. You'll hear the term used very frequently these days because mind control has become the number one weapon of choice. I mean, people don't blow themselves up if they are in their right minds, regardless of what Fox News might tell you. The point I'm making is that this young man was involuntarily admitted to a psychiatric hospital for evaluation in Christiansburg, Virginia, which is a short distance away from Blacksburg. And to me, that would have been a fertile ground, potentially, for someone at DARPA to have learned of this person's incarceration there. And his violent behaviors through his own admissions and writings in his creative writing class, that's what landed him in the in the place for an evaluation, would make one who knew and understood what it took to program someone like this, it would actually be quite simple. It can be done very quickly. And it's not something that, you know, you would, like Kathy O'Brien was abused psychologically, physically, and sexually from the time she was born. And her brain was conditioned before age 5. But this young man's brain, as far as we know, was not. He came from a family of poor South Koreans who immigrated to the United States in hopes of a better life. They had a very bright daughter, have a very bright daughter who still lives with them. They have a dry cleaners just outside of Arlington, Virginia. And the daughter graduated from Princeton University with honors in economics. And she is now employed with one of the government contractors that is rebuilding Iraq. The point is, this young man was, from the time of anyone's earliest recollections of him when he was a small boy in South Korea, he was considered a mama's boy because he clung close to his mother. He was very insecure, and he was a loner throughout his childhood, and someone who strangely enough, everyone that had any association with him, including his roommates, said he never spoke. And he wouldn't even, you know, speak when spoken to in a friendly greeting. He was just completely withdrawn. Well, all of these are very, very strong signals of someone who is suffering from a serious behavioral disorder. And, of course, this young man did have one. And the psychiatrist, Dr. Stan, if I can find out if this guy has any associations with DARPA or any associations or works with any government grants, I'm working on it now to determine this, but the psychiatrist that evaluated this young man said he was a threat to himself and society, but he would not involuntarily place him in the mental institution. He said he just needs outside counseling. You can't outside counsel someone who is a threat to themselves and to society. These people, particularly if it's a psychiatric problem, I mean, you know, there's a brain chemistry or electrochemical brain problem, or perhaps even, you know, some other, maybe a brain tumor. Who knows? I don't know this young man's entire history.
Well, you know, there are a lot of unusual things. The pictures that he had sent to NBC, I mean, if you notice, they were all perfectly centered. Now, you don't take pictures of yourself that are perfectly centered.
Well, the only way he could have done it would have been to have watched himself on television. But there is rumored through credible sources of mine, which nobody has come up with, and Dr. Stan, I am not one to repeat a rumor, but in this case scenario, there, in the original film, there is one set of frames where the camera follows him as he moves. Well, that's impossible if only he were filming himself.
And so the question is, who might have been filming him?
Exactly.
And, of course, nobody wants to ask these very hard questions or, you know, why after killing two people he would go back to his room and then take the package to the post office and then walk over to this other building and somehow get into the building that was a secure building, and he apparently did not have a pass to get into it, a card to get into it. There are so many unanswered questions, and I suspect, like Columbine, we will never be told the whole story.
Well, there are some other questions I have too, Dr. Stan. And you, of all people, know exactly what I'm speaking of here. If you examine the pictures that was on NBC and is still online, when he was repeating his little diatribe before the camera, if you look at his face, and along, particularly on his forehead and the sides of his temples, forward of his temples, just barely forward of them, you will notice what appears to be electro burns. You know that little gel that they put on the electrodes whenever they're going to monitor your heart or they're going to monitor your brain. If that gel is left on too long, it can cause a little discoloration in the melanin in the skin. And this young man seemed to have those, and they were well placed on his face. I find that particularly odd for a fellow who has not been in, you know, regular long-term in-hospital treatment. I think that's another sign that is a glowing sign that something else is awry here. And, of course, when it happened, Dr. Stan, they had the Gonzales hearings, they had an anti-abortion bill, and the Democrats are always looking, of course, for a gun control bill. There was something else, too. If you recall what it was, it was on their plate at Congress's plate at the same time, besides a war spending bill.
Not very candidly. The war spending bill is the big issue now, and the president's threat, of course, to go ahead and veto that and any other spending legislation until, of course, they give him the ability to continue the war in Iraq as long as he wants to.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, of course.
But all of these things were being, you know, and all of the problems that have been going on in Washington, that virtually the people there who are working within the government are practically revolting. I see where George Tenet is releasing a book on a scathing book on his role in the CIA and how he said he made the mistake of the proverbial slam dunk the reason for our going to war, though he swears that he never had one serious meeting with either Bush or Cheney with regards to Saddam having weapons of mass destruction, and of course he does go into some detail about the fact that the information that they had was flawed, that they'd received information from several countries telling them that information with regards to the yellowcake uranium from Niger was absolutely a fraud. All of these things were happening and percolating up at the same time that this distraction came along. And that always is a strong signal to me that there has got to be an ulterior motive here.
Well, you know, the thing is that we go from trauma to trauma. And certainly there's always seems to be a crisis. There always being something to make us feel a little uneasy.
Yeah, exactly.
And I really believe that they're intentionally playing games with our mind. So many of the television programs are designed to frighten us. The blood, the horror, the gore, the tension, and the way they use the music there in the background to sway our emotions. Notice, how music can be used, even when they're simply doing an interview many times, how they'll use the music in the background to control how you respond. Well, you go ahead and pick the story up there, Mark.
Well, Dr. Stan, you know, when we started this show, you were talking about how people here in the United States have a tendency to...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
On these various macabre CIA mind control, and I believe, frankly, criminal experiments that were carried out by these people working for our government who were actually doing physical and mental harm to people, sometimes even driving them mad. And there's a wonderful book written by Gordon Thomas, Journey into Madness, about a woman who came under their control and up in Canada, and how they destroyed her mind intentionally and purposely. Eventually, I think she got $100,000, But, of course, their life is ruined. But certainly they were using this trauma-based control to create these split personalities. And then, of course, to cover that, they, you know, these people would talk about all these terrible things done to them. And then, of course, they came up with this idea of a false memory syndrome. And they had this organization all over America talking about false memory. All these are false memories. And they had these chapters of this central organization. And who organized the central organization? Well, you know who it was. It was the Central Intelligence Agency, largely headed by Jolly West, Jocelyn West, who was the chief CIA doctor, creating, you know, this organization saying, oh, there is no such thing as these satanic rituals or certainly this abuse. So much of it was very, very real, wasn't it, Mark?
Indeed it was. As a matter of fact, in the mid to late 60s, the CIA began to infiltrate what you and I would relate to as white witchcraft, you know, the tree-hugger types that worship the creation rather than the creator, but they don't use any blood traumas. They don't have any animal or human sacrifices. But the CIA was introducing, by working their way into these various ones, and at that time there were over 25,000 cells across the United States that were, and I had the list of the ones and where they were and the names of them, and many of the participants. But that was provided to me by a police officer, actually with the state police in Kentucky, who the entire file was handed to him by who he thinks was a CIA officer. But the point I'm making is this: they infiltrated these witchcraft groups and introduced Satanism and blood trauma and sacrifice because they were more curious about the impact on the minds of the onlookers than they were about the ones who were on that stone altar being tortured. They knew what the outcome was going to be for them and their minds. It was just going to, you know, compartmentalize their memory and fragment their personalities. But they wanted to know about the sheer depth of the post-traumatic stress disorder and how malleable the minds would be of those people who were just watching it happen. And this went on until the mid-70s. Well, as you well know, Satanism in this country exploded as far as the satanic crimes and the number of people that were coming forward during the 80s and early 90s when it began to surface, and of course, the news and many of the and we had they had that one FBI guy, I can't think of his name now, as a matter of convenience, I think, who issued a total denial statement. There was no such thing as satanic ritual abuse. Well, I was reminded J. Edgar Hoover said there was no such thing as the mob or the mafia. But the fact is, when the government is involved with something as nefarious as this is, whether it be satanic ritual abuse or whether it be co-opting crime with the mob for funding black operations in the Pentagon, the fact is they cover it up. And they just simply cover it up by saying there is no such thing.
Well, it's pretty hard to admit that these things have gone on, that you've actually participated or encouraged it. Certainly, you know, there's a wonderful book we carry called Satanic Crimes by William H. Kennedy.
I really want that book.
Oh, if you want one, I will send you one. You know, we carry it. I think it's really quite good. In fact, there's another one.
Yes, it is.
Another wonderful book, Programmed to Kill, by a fellow named David McGowan. But
right.
We're going to have to see if there's some way we can carry that as well. People have to understand what we are really up against is organized evil. When you understand it, and when you understand it's being largely funded with your tax money, then, of course, I hope it will put an entirely different put things in an entirely different perspective.
Yes.
Thank you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. I guess it's Mark Phillips. And these things go on. We never used to see these, serial killers to the degree we've seen them, here in the last 40 or 50 years here in America. This sort of thing has always happened, but never the degree that it has recently. Have you had that feeling, Mark?
Yes, Dr. Stan, in 1995 when we provided our testimony for the Intelligence Oversight Committee in both houses of Congress, I managed to slip in the statement that by the year 2000, we would most likely have at least a quintuplet number of serial killers on the loose. And these serial killers were the product of a number of things, but the ones that always managed to evade the authorities, and the authorities always seemed to get the wrong guy, if they did manage to corral them, they were instantly killed. The fact is, many of the histories on some of these serial killers, if you trace it back, you'll go right back into one of the mental institutions or one of the prisons where personalities like Jolly West, who was the chair of the Department of Psychiatry at UCLA for many years. And he, of course, worked for the Central Intelligence Agency from 1957 until probably the time that he retired from UCLA. Or died, I can't remember which, but he's dead now.
Well, actually, of course, he was actually intimately associated with Timothy McVeigh. I have from several sources that he was actually down visiting Timothy McVeigh. Now, he subsequently died after that, Timothy McVeigh supposedly is died. But why was Jolly West visiting Timothy McVeigh?
Why was he visiting Jack Ruby?
All of these questions that nobody ever wants to ask. Why would a CIA psychiatrist visit Jack Ruby and the same one visit Timothy McVeigh? Nobody seems to want to ask questions.
Sirhan. You remember Sirhan?
Oh.
Sirhan,
oh, yeah, sure.
Wrote all over his cell walls, everything, and his request for release is still based upon mind control. It always has been. He claims he was under mind control at the time. Of course,
hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we were simply chatting with Mark about so many of the unsolved murders, or we should say the supposedly solved murders. Everybody knows that Sirhan killed Bobby Kennedy. I mean, was definitely proven, but the only trouble was he was standing in front of Bobby Kennedy, and the shots that killed Bobby Kennedy came from behind. But Sirhan claims he was under mind control, but he doesn't seem to be getting much of an opportunity to present his case again, does he?
No, not hardly. No, and of course Charles Manson, if you look back at his history, he had a direct association not only with Jolly West, but he also had a direct association with the founder of the Church of Satan,
Anton LaVey,
while he was still working for the Central Intelligence Agency as a photographer for the San Francisco Chronicle. I'm talking about LaVey.
Right.
So the connections are out there. It's a matter of public knowledge. It's a matter of public record. And when Kathy and I are out on the speaking trail and we talk about these things and go into detail with them, it does lend the credibility that necessary. I guess it does, because Transformation of America is in its 14th English edition, and it's now in 10 languages and sold in 50 countries. And that's done with no advertising, Dr. Stan. It's only been through good people like you and through word of mouth that book has ever taken off.
Well, I'm really very, very encouraged the fact that you travel throughout the world, you and Kathy, and you certainly talk to large audiences in most countries, or many of the countries of the world, But certainly you have a far larger audience in other countries than you do here, don't you?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Matter of fact, we're always sold out at any place that we speak, offshore, I'm speaking. And the strangest thing, and I always like to refer to this, once in the Philippines, which we consider a third world country, and for the most part, the average individual that was there had a high school education. They knew more about American history and mind control than anyone that we talked to with a college degree, the average individual here in the United States, or in North America, for that matter.
Well, of course, the trouble with our colleges is that they don't educate, they indoctrinate, and certainly
yes.
one of the problems I have, you know, really, I hate to say this, but, you know, I think it is the people with the college educations that many times are the most naive about what's going on, because they have so much education, and, of course, the colleges have destroyed their faith in God, that these people honestly believe, you know, what they've been taught in school, and they're Darwinists, and they're atheists, and they're so smart they're not going to listen to anything else because they've learned it all. And unfortunately, it is simply because they've been lied to in college. And I know from my own personal experience, when I, certainly after I got out of college, and then I began to question everything I'd learned, and it was so difficult for me to accept that all these things, which was the very essence of my makeup, my personality, all these things I believed were wrong. And suddenly it began to be able
Dr.
to think.
Dr. Sam, you should have come out of what I came out of. Everything I thought I knew, I didn't.
Well, you know, the thing is that what the most significant thing is, though, once you can begin to think independently,
mm-hmm.
once you can get away from this rote pattern of thinking and begin to challenge the things that are going on, then you suddenly have this wonderful, exhilarating feeling, you know, of being free. And that, I think, you know, this was, I suppose, 44 years ago when I finally came to that point where I could think independently, I could read a newspaper and not accept what it said as gospel, but ask that question, what are they trying to convince me of in this newspaper article that just is not true? And at that point, you're suddenly able to be free.
Indeed. Of course, you know, we formulate all of our decisions and everything that we do based on what we believe in and what we believe we know is truth or fact. And our trusted sources, such as our schools of higher learning, and now it's all the way into grade schools, are supposed to provide us with fact instead of fallacies that are woven into a cloth to literally dumb us down to be a controlled society. And the media, the so-called news media in this country, has done an incredible job since 1949 when Operation Cinderella for the media was one of the CIA's flagship first efforts in controlling the media after World War II, when everybody was lulled asleep with this whole idea that they should trust anything the government does in secret because the government saved us from the Japanese and the Germans. When in fact they used that that mind or that mentality to drive in that secrecy is fine. And the last 15 years, the one thing that I've been begging everyone when they say, well, what can we do? And politicians talking to me, what can I do? I said, well, you can start by repealing the War Powers Act and the National Security Act. I said, if you'll do those two things, I said, guess what? I said, the rules of ethical military conduct is what our secrets used to be controlled by, and that people in government who were doing evil things, they were held to task, but not anymore. I said, people can do anything they want to anybody they want to, and the National Security Act can be invoked as it was upon our case. And that's true, by the way, for anyone in any country that has a peace treaty. If that country holds a peace treaty with the United States, their people are subject to our National Security Act. That's what happened in Canada with those people up there that were abused by Dr. Ewan Cameron.
I think for our listeners who don't know who Ewan Cameron was, would you mind telling them? Because he is
he was the founder of the American Psychiatric Association, of which, by the way, most psychiatrists worldwide belong to this lobby group or professional group for psychiatrists to belong to. It's called the APA. Dr. Ewan Cameron was installed as the first founder and president of the APA. Who was Dr. Cameron? Dr. Cameron was an employee of the Central Intelligence Agency and one of the primary mastheads of the MK Ultra project, which was the government's mind control project that they carried on from the Nazi Germany experiments.
And, of course, he was the one, of course, who was taking these patients without the knowledge and consent, was driving them into madness.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
Of course, this book, A Journey into Madness, just tells the story. In fact, I saw, actually, on, I forgot, was it Discovery Channel or one of the others recently, a program that went into this. I was amazed, where they were actually bringing this out on nationwide television.
Yes. Well, the Canadians had a three-part mini-series that was very, very factual. Right down to the points I thought the roles that the individuals played. Do you recall the name of that? I've got it here on video. It was banned in this country for several years, and then it finally, after so many years passed, and I guess the government, they hide everything in plain sight, and they're arrogant. They just finally let it come in. But
well, this must have been fairly recent, because they had there, at least in the one that I saw, a short interview with Robert Baer, who was a CIA agent who's only been talking maybe 6 or 7 years. And Robert Baer was saying, gee, I can't imagine the CIA being involved in that. If they are involved, it's not the CIA I knew. And I thought to myself, Robert Baer, I believe you. I believe he's an honest man. But the CIA is compartmentalized, and most people who work for the CIA have no idea about this, the truly dark, dark, dark side.
Everyone is screened from the very beginning. If you're recruited into the CIA, they know exactly what your mindset is. They know exactly what they can expose you to. And, of course, everything is compartmentalized so that you don't know the rest of the rest of the story. You only see a small portion of it. And the things that I saw, of course, I worked with a lot of animals, was around apes as well as dolphins. And the worst thing that I ever encountered was the fact that they were strapping mines. They were magnetic mines on the noses of the bottlenose dolphins, and having them swim underneath ships to blow them up. That to me was the worst thing that I had ever encountered. When I learned of the actual purpose of the dolphin experiments, but I was told that they were doing it strictly for learning more about the dolphin sonar, and I knew I was being lied to after I found out about the bomb thing. But that was the worst thing that I found out, Dr. Stan.
I'm sure there are a lot worse things. Of course, after you came into contact with Kathy and found out what had been done to her, I'm sure this must have been a terrible revelation.
Indeed.
And I think I'm just amazed that you were able to get her deprogrammed and to the point where, for those of you who don't know Kathy O'Brien, I met her, I suppose, first time a decade or more ago, and at that time she was sort of withdrawn and, it is hard to communicate with her. Now, of course, she's lovely, and she thinks clearly and expresses herself so well, and such a pleasure to be around, and really just a lovely person.
Well, Kathy is one of those remarkable success stories of someone who, there's no such thing as a deprogrammer, Dr. Stan. The person deprograms themselves. And if you put a person in a safe place and a loving environment, and they feel protected, they feel loved, And they're not, their memories are not contaminated. Of course, Kathy's were not, her memories weren't contaminated. She hadn't been around any other victims or survivors, as they call them. Everything that she was recalling, she wasn't even able to ask me questions about. She was writing out her memories, connecting her left brain to the right side, and all of a sudden she's able to start thinking clearly after about 9 months of this. I was taking all of that information as quickly as she provided it to me. I was turning it over to people I trusted within the intelligence community and also with U.S. Customs. And by the way, William Von Raab, who was head of Customs under George Bush Sr., resigned shortly after, actually about 7 months after our case had been thoroughly investigated and Customs was able to validate the fact that Kathy was telling the truth on the issues that they were able to prove. And this was involving money laundering. This was involving drug running operations. And William Von Raab said he could not fight a war against drugs when his own government was who he was fighting.
Okay,
that is a matter of public record.
I think anybody, of course, who has an ounce of intelligence has to ask themselves, if Afghanistan is the largest producer of morphine, opium poppies in the world today, and we control, Afghanistan, and the crop keeps increasing every year, and it would be very easy to burn the fields or to spray the fields or, destroy the fields, and we don't do it when we have a military presence there.
Well, I saw something on CNN the other day and also on MSNBC that I found contradict that, and I don't understand it, Dr. Stan. You don't suppose the media is lying to me? They said that this year was the... There was the medical community had a shortage of morphine as a result of all the wars and the battling in Afghanistan. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. There's something wrong with this picture. I wasn't aware that the ethical medical community or the ethical medical drug companies, I use those terms loosely, were buying from, these warlords in Afghanistan, their product. I thought that this stuff was grown in a little more hygienic conditions.
Well, I think a lot of it, of course, is still grown down the Golden Triangle there.
Of course it is.
And in Laos, and there are places where it's grown legitimately for medical purposes, but not that it's grown in Afghanistan under the supervision of the CIA, which is really running that war. Of course, it's being used to corrupt the minds and hearts and the souls of people in Russia and Europe and perhaps even here in the United States. But, the CIA has always been the largest purveyor of illegal drugs, but we can't tell the American people that any more than we can tell them about the CIA mind control experiments or their other activities in Iraq and certainly in the Middle East today.
Well, of course, the CIA was allowed to investigate themselves in 1997, and out of half a million documents of proof, they didn't find themselves guilty of being involved in the illicit drug trade. Now, I was relieved to know that.
Right. Well, actually, of course, there was an Inspector General's report, though, that we do have, that where at least the Inspector General admitted that there was some involvement of the CIA.
Yes.
Well, they didn't say it was official policy, but that certainly CIA involvement in the drug smuggling, and then the man who, of course, had stimulated that investigation, a reporter for the San Jose Mercury named Gary Webb ended up committing suicide by shooting himself in the head twice, which is sort of reminiscent of Sho, because at least if you believe this reports we're getting out of Virginia Tech, why Sho shot himself in the face twice, and then dropped to the floor. I don't, at least one man who was there said, he was in the room with Sho. There were two gunshots, and then Sho dropped to the floor. But why would he shoot himself twice? Well, lots of things we'll
never
know. I think
that's pretty good that he could actually do that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, who in their right mind would shoot himself in the face? You might put the gun in your mouth. You might put it to your temple. But to shoot yourself in the face and horribly disfigure yourself. And I would ask our listeners, do you honestly believe this story? There's something very, very strange about it. I don't know what it is. I don't know the answers.
Dr. Stan, I don't know if we'll ever know the truth about this one. You know, it, eventually truth leads a wretched life, but it always survives a lie. And I do strongly suspect that many of the elements will eventually surface, because people are aware now that these type of individuals can be created. And I want to believe that we're going to get the truth out on this latest horror that was, I believe, planned.
Mark, do you have a website? You want to get that out?
Yes, Dr. Stan, that's very kind. If anybody wants to come and take a look at our website, we would certainly welcome it. Just type in www.forreasonsofnationalsecurity.com.
Forreasonsofnationalsecurity.com, and we'll be back in just a moment. Well, Mark, we've got 3 minutes before we let you go. Go ahead. What would you like to cover?
Well, Dr. Stan, I'd like to just say to your listeners that I'm hoping that they gained and gleaned something from tonight's show that will help them and encourage them to research everything that they hear and see. Don't accept anything on face value. The truth is out there, and now with the Internet, even though it's like trying to get a sip of water out of a fire hose, you can diligently research any topic, and you can get at the truth. And all we know is that truth will set us free.
And I think it's so important that people begin to learn to question, to understand that we have some wonderful people working for government. We have a wonderful form of government, but unfortunately, it's been taken over by some very wicked people who work in concert, because they have a different agenda. They have a different goal. They march to a different drumbeat. They dream a different dream.
It's a fascist type of government, Dr. Stan, and the corporations are the ones that have corrupted it.
Amen to that. And, of course, we're moving towards a situation where the corporations rule the world.
Indeed.
In fact, this is actually covered in a book by a man named Edward Bellamy. The book is called Looking Backwards. It was written in 1880. And he tells at that time, a futurist book written in 1880, talking about the year 2000, looking backward. And, of course, at that time, there is just one great corporation that rules the whole world. And, of course, as he says, at that time, a credit card would be just as good in Europe as gold once was. Mm-hmm. Remember, that we're talking about 1880.
Isn't that amazing?
And a credit card would be just as good in Europe as gold once was. And then, of course, there's so many fascinating things in that book. Well worthwhile reading, with the realization that there's no way, I believe, he could have known these things by his own ability. I believe, of course, that many times there truly are demonic spirits that do influence people. They're powerful spiritual forces behind everything that's going on. Well, Mark Phillips, thank you so very much, and give our best to Kathy. Tell her, sorry we didn't have more time. We could get her on. We have another hour, but it's time to let you go and get some sleep.
Actually, I've got to get something to eat, Doctor.
All right,
I'm the cook here.
You're the cook, okay.
Yes, right. Well, thank you very much, Doctor Stan. It's been a wonderful opportunity to share with you tonight, and God bless you, my friend.
Good night. Bye. All right, fine. That was Mark Phillips, and certainly I always enjoy having Mark on, and we had Kathy on this morning, and maybe we get him on again sometime real soon. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and, of course, we've had Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien on the program. We'd like to mention, if you'd like to really explore these ideas, we do carry the book written by Dr. Colin Ross called The CIA Doctors. It used to be called Operation Bluebird. It goes into the fact that at the end of the Second World War, why the Central Intelligence Agency brought over many of the Nazi war criminals to the United States. Now, of course, some of them went to work on the space program, but many of them went to work on these mind control experiments, and continued, of course, to work on those experiments under the auspices of the CIA, and they learned how to create these multiple personalities, these dissociative personalities, these Manchurian-type candidates who could be triggered, to carry out some gross and horrible activities. So that's the CIA doctors, by Dr. Colin Ross. And then, of course, we have the official files of the CIA, 18,000 pages of declassified documents they don't want you to know about. That's available. But the book called Mind Control, and another book called Mass Control, and a four-tape set on Mind Control. I certainly think one of the more informative books we carry is called Economic Hitman. It's the story of a gentleman who worked for NASA, NSA, National Security Agency, and was actually employed through various companies to go throughout the world, getting these companies in debt, and then, of course, bribing officials. And yes, it's necessary, of course, standing aside as the CIA brought their agents in to kill the government officials in other countries who wouldn't go along with this economic hitman, and of course we have a four-tape set of my interviews with Mr. John Perkins. We call that economic hitman. We have a wonderful four-tape set on the Bohemian Grove. There's nothing quite like it. This is, of course, the place at the in Santa Rosa, where the elite of our country and the world meet on a regular basis. Many times running around in the woods naked and all sorts of horrible perversions going on here. And there's ceremonies. If you haven't seen the film, which we actually have, The Dark Side of the Bohemian Grove, it is available through Radio Liberty. But what we have that nobody else has is an interview with Kathy O'Brien, who was actually sent there by the CIA to compromise some of the most important men in America today. Some of the most important men in America today. That's our four-tape set on Bohemian Grove. And if, of course, if any of you would like to actually get pages from the Bohemian Grove's own publications where they talk about worshiping the owl. They have a 40-foot owl, and somebody, of course, had given me, or we'd actually purchased a set of books published by the Bohemian Grove, and there in the opening pages of Volume 4, they talk about the owl and their worship of the owl. And, of course, the owl represents Moloch. We have this wonderful book. It's called Satanic Crimes by William Kennedy. We have our interviews with William Kennedy, and of course, we have certainly the four-tape set, Satanism and Deliverance. The story of what happened to a woman who came from a satanic family and was ritually abused for many years. And then, of course, her deliverance from her point of view and from the point of view of the man who worked with her and who still has a ministry, lives in Oregon, where he's helped literally thousands of people who are victims of classical satanic ritual abuse. Do these things really go on in America? Yes, I'm afraid that they really do. And you're never going to hear about them. This is why I do what I do, to try to make people understand we're involved in a spiritual battle. And there really is another dimension. There really are people who have access to that dimension. And if you haven't seen the videos, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, that's a wonderful introduction to that part of what's going on. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like more information. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. But please, pray for America and pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, they're going to be your views, too, for this hour, because this is Open Lines, and it's not Wednesday, but it's Open Lines Friday, and it's going to be the earlier hour where we have a larger listening audience, but Mark didn't like to stay up late, and I can't say that I blame him, and so we gave him the 8 o'clock slot. So this is Open Lines Friday at 9 o'clock, and if there's something you would like to talk about, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So give us a call here. And, of course, we could certainly talk about the political candidates. I mean, who is your favorite political candidate and why? Do you prefer a Giuliani or McCain, or what about Fred Thompson? What about, would he be a candidate who could be electable? Or what about Tom Crito, or what about Ron Paul? And then, of course, if you're not interested in talking about political candidates, we could talk about population control. We could talk about the subject we were just talking about mind control. But until, of course, somebody gets in, I may very well just talk a little bit about what we're learning about the bees that are disappearing, and how this fits into this whole scenario that suggests we're going to have a serious famine in the not-too-distant future. In fact, if you're reading, as I do, very pointedly what's happening to the food crops, there's a wheat rust that is actually sweeping the fields and wiping out wheat fields in Africa and I believe to an extent in South America. And this is, of course, something we really have to be concerned about, because wheat is the staple of life. And then, of course, in Australia, why, there's a terrible drought. And, of course, as a result of that, there's going to be a very, very damaged wheat crop. And as a result, why, the cost of wheat and of corn and other products is beginning to rise, as you certainly know, why there is a increasing price of corn, because they're using so much corn for the ethanol. And, of course, the reason they're using it is because the government's subsidizing it, in other words, subsidizing ethanol production. And it really is not efficient at all, because it takes more than a barrel of oil to create a barrel of ethanol. But what is really happening, of course, is that with the rising price of corn, that, of course, we see the rising price of poultry, of chickens, because they eat corn, and the rising cost of eggs, and then we see the rising price of meat, because of the animals are fed corn, especially when they're in the feeding pens before they're slaughtered. And so certainly it's a byproduct of this, of the ethanol. I think we're going to see the price of corn going up and the price of so many other things rising. And I really am very, very concerned about the bees. Of course, what impact will that have on about a third of our crops, which are totally dependent upon bees for their pollinization? And certainly then we read about melamine and how it got into the pet food, and then it got into the pigs, and some of those pigs, the meat from the pigs has been put out for use. And of course many of the pets that actually had eaten the contaminated pet food had kidney failure. And when we start bringing in these products from other countries, especially from countries like China, massive amounts of wheat or other products, how do we know it's not poisoned? Is anybody checking? Then we have the brown Australian moth, and this has the ability to wreak havoc with our crops here in California. We have a genetically modified food, and certainly we're having real problems with the rice crop in California, because the genetically modified rice is pollinating and actually contaminating much of the other rice, and other countries will not accept our rice. And then we have the instance of mad cow disease here in the United States. And there's so many things that are happening to the food crops that, well, we really, I believe there are going to be some very serious shortages of food within the next year, and all I can do is say, begin making your preparations. Well, with that as a background, let's go to Will, who's calling from Missouri. Hi, Will, did you have a question or comment?
I have a question, or actually a comment, Dr. Stan. It's fascinating to discuss the food issues, but I have done a little bit of research, not a lot, in regards to the Jewish Autonomous Region, the Jewish Autonomous Oblast. Some people know it somewhat, very little bit, by Vorobidzhan. Have you ever looked into that as the,
nope,
the creation of it, or why we very rarely, if ever, hear about it?
I never, don't know anything at all about it.
Well, I'll tell you just a little bit about it. One of the reasons why I'm curious why we don't hear anything about it. Originally, it was started by Joseph Stalin. It was his final solution for his Jewish problem. And it is, for those that are map buffs, if you take out the atlas and look at it, the Sakhalin Peninsula projects up a bit, but this Amur River, A-M-U-R, which is a very long river, forms the north boundary of China and the southern boundary of the former USSR. And that river, the Amur River, flows in and around and right past what is known as the Jewish Autonomous Region, or the Jewish Autonomous Oblast. And the people that went there, Jewish, of course, originally, began to set up community, and the area is rich. It's not like they were being sent to Siberia. It's about the same latitude as Paris, somewhere between Paris and Berlin, as far as latitude is concerned. And of course, it's off the Pacific, so the temperature there would be better there than off the Atlantic. But anyway, they tried to set up a nation state, if you will, or a state. It's an autonomous region, and had mixed results. Many people from the United States and from other nations around the world went there early on.
And what year was this you're talking about?
We're talking probably 40s, 50s, and 60s, somewhere in that range.
All right, fine.
When most of the activity was happening.
Why don't you just hold that? We'll be back in just a moment.
Very good.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We're having open line Friday evening. So we have Will calling from Missouri. He's talking about something called the Jewish Autonomous Region. Apparently it's over in Mongolia. It was set up by Stalin in the 50s, about 50 or more years ago. I've never heard of this. I know nothing about it. And Will, go ahead, tell us that it was established by Stalin. He was trying to get rid of the Jews, get them out of the central part of Russia.
Well, I wouldn't go so strongly as to say that he was trying to get rid of the Jews. From what I've read and studied on it, it was giving an alternative, a place to go, a homeland, prior to the formation of Israel, and as an alternative to Israel.
Well, there are, Israel was formed in 1948, so this would have to have been before that, or
yes, I believe so. And but also remember, Dr. Stan, that not all Jews believe that you can form Israel by the act of man and make it a sacred thing. I think it's the Natura Carta that are opposed to the nation state of Israel on those grounds. But I'm not bringing that up for that. The main thing is that it exists till today. It's had various different levels of success. They do have a website. The JAR has a website. You can go on and you can get information from the current newspapers and whatnot. But I just never hear about it. And just, you know, you're so knowledgeable on all of these, you know, various topics that even, you know, you didn't know about it. I wouldn't have known about it if I wasn't an Atlas studier and an encyclopedia reader. I came across it in the first article in a 1960s Funk and Wagnall encyclopedia.
Well, but, we will look into it, and maybe we can carry on a more intelligent conversation when I know something about it, and I appreciate, very much your letting me know about it, and Cindy will look into it. Anything else that you'd like to mention?
No, there is one other. The other one is that in all of your research, have you ever come across the writings of a man named William Ernest Hocking?
I'm not certain that I have. Who was Hocking?
Professor of political philosophy and Eastern studies at Harvard, a contemporary of Roscoe Pound, and he had a book that he called The Spirit of World Politics. And that book is an absolute primer on the creation of Israel. That I think it would be really great to get out to the audience. I think there are some copies available on the internet. I haven't looked for that. I found a copy in a used bookstore. But it's a wonderful book, extremely well documented, and it was written in the 30s, and it really lays out the groundwork for then what became of Palestine and what became Israel. So just another one. William Ernest Hocking, a very interesting man, very well-written, well-documented book. But again, that's just another one of these anomalies. It's something we don't hear out there.
Well, you know, I think it's very interesting that certainly Israel existed, at least as a nation, since 1948. But so many people in Israel today have just given up. They have no hope. I mean, they feel that they're surrounded by Arab enemies, that their leadership is not backing them. That their leadership is surrendering ground, and they're constantly on the retreat. And, of course, the debacle of the last war there with Lebanon, which I really believe, had it not been for the fact that America threatened to cut off all aid to Israel, and then Javier Solana came in. And, of course, for those of you who don't know, he is the most powerful man in the world. He's in charge of the military of Western Europe. He's in charge of the foreign policy of the decisions made for the European Union. He has headed NATO. And Javier Solana, whose position was established by two various edicts or resolutions, each one numbered 666. And, of course, our good friend Constance Combe speaks of him often. But Javier Solana then, of course, went over to Israel there in the middle of the war recently with Palestine last year, and with Lebanon, and simply told them to stop and Olmert obeyed him. And apparently when Javier Solana speaks, everybody listens. And certainly Javier Solana is holding meetings with the leaders of Iran this week, and hoping to get them to stop their enrichment of uranium. And if anybody can vent a war with Iran, it'll be Javier Solana. Going to be very interesting to see, because we should know within a week or two whether or not he was successful. But Chris, it's to me, it's tragic that the Jewish people have lost confidence in their calling to return to the Holy Land. Now, many of them don't believe in God anymore. Many of them are secular Jews. But it's going to be... I do not believe that God is going to allow them to be driven from the Holy Land, at least not at this time.
Well, this is again why looking at the JAR, or the Jewish Autonomous Region, is so important for understanding this. I read an article on their website. There's not very much on their website, and there aren't very many links if you go on Google and look around. But there were down, this was about a year ago that I went on the internet and found this. But they were down to one synagogue, and it was being used part-time between a Christian church, I don't remember which denomination, and this last rabbi that was trying. But they aren't able to keep their religious aspect going. But I think right now in Israel, we can be very well seeing, as the new generation grows up, they don't have necessarily the same Zionist leanings or proclivity that the founders did. And I'm sure that they're cognizant of the fact that they're being used kind of like as a pawn, as a way for the English and the Americans to hold a trump card right in the Middle East. And that was some of what was brought out by William Ernest Hocking in his book on the Spirit of World Politics, is how this really, it was something that was a world plan that had very little to do with Israel, and it was mostly a convenience, and it was easy to masquerade it as a Jewish project, but I think it was more of a global geopolitical strategic project, and that's the way that he was viewing it, I believe. My memory, it's been about 2 years since I've read his book, but lots of things are happening there, and I believe now it's all kind of coming to light, and it wouldn't surprise me if this generation of Israelis just said, hey, wait a minute, we don't like what we see here, and start to question the precepts upon which Israel was created. But anyway, these are just ideas, things to think about, other ways of looking at the situation. And these two sources, both Hawking's book and looking at the JAR, when you take the JAR and look at that and say, all right, let's say that you had an Israeli state that was not did not have hostile neighbors. What would they make for themselves? Well, as this has proven, they are not doing very well. That's not very prosperous.
And, of course, the thing is that this is man's effort to solve the problem. And, of course, man is not going to solve the problem of a homeland for the Jews.
That's exactly
that's
right.
Up to God. And, of course, the thing is that it is amazing, of course, to me that they were able to actually return to the Holy Land, that they were able to win the 48 war and all the wars that they've been in, the 53, the 67, the 73 wars against overwhelming odds. But at this time in history, a lot of the Jewish people seem to have lost their will to resist. They're not willing to fight. They want to live prosperously, but they don't realize that they're not going to be able to do that. And certainly there is no way they can make concessions to the Arabs. The only thing that will please the Arabs is when every Jew has either been killed or driven from that part of the world. So it's going to be very interesting to see, certainly not only what man has planned, what our leaders have planned, what the Israeli leaders have planned, what the Arab leaders have planned, but what does God have planned? Because this is the one thing that most people never look at. We look and see what's happening geopolitically, but then, of course, be over and above what the geopolitical situation, God does rule in the affairs of man, I'm firmly convinced. And I think that it's almost as if there is a cosmic timetable that's being followed today. And, of course, I believe that there's a very real reason why our troops are in Afghanistan and in Iraq, and why, of course, we're threatening to go to war with Iran. I don't know all the answers, but I do know that none of this makes any logical sense. And if it doesn't make any logical sense, there has to be another explanation. And that is, of course, what we're going to be seeing unfolding here in the next few months. And I think we are living, well, in one of the most exciting, dangerous, frightening times in world history.
Yes, we are. That is true.
Okay, well, I really appreciate your calling, and again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
No, that'll be fine. Thank you very much, Dan. Keep up the good work.
Okay, fine. Well, I was reading recently a book by Joel Rosenberg, and certainly there were a lot of things in that book that I felt might have been very much establishment propaganda. Joel has been given access to an awful lot of the key players and everything that's going on, and I believe that he has been promoted to write a book that's very favorable to the administration's policies and justifies going to war with both Afghanistan and Iraq, and perhaps even the necessity of going to war with Iran in the near future. But one of the most amazing things that he has in his book is the story that was written by some Iranian talk about President Ahmadinejad. And according to this article, part of the book, Ahmadinejad had a meeting recently with the Mahdi. Now, for those of you who don't know who the Mahdi is an ethereal character. He's not a real human being. He, of course, had disappeared in the 9th century, like the Messiah of the Christian Messiah or the Jewish Messiah. He's going to be coming back. And Ahmadinejad claims he has held a meeting with Ahmadi. What does that suggest to you? We'll be back in a moment. Well, we've got Mike here in Coeur d'Alene, and somebody wants us to make a remark on the Book of Dreams, which I really am not acquainted with, so or a book of definition of dreams. That's not a little out of my expertise. So let's go to Mike, who's calling from Coeur d'Alene on the bee population and on chemtrails. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you have any thoughts on why the Mahdi would be meeting with President Ahmadinejad of Iran, and why President Ahmadinejad would be meeting with the Mahdi, why, give us a call. Otherwise, hi, Mike. How are you doing there?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Dr. Stan, for taking the call.
Okay, well, tell us about your thoughts on the bee population and the chemtrails.
Well, I wanted to ask you a question on that, actually. You know, I have been monitoring just the skies in the Coeur d'Alene Spokane area, and it seems like every morning, even if there's a, you know, a beautiful blue sky day, by 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, you could see streaks, chemtrails, what I would think they are, in the sky, and then in about 4 to 6 hours later, it's overcast and cloudy. And I've noticed myself that we're not dealing with as many bees around this area, or I'm not. I'm not having to spray my eaves for either yellow jackets or anything else as much as I had in the past. And I was wondering if there was a connection between the chemtrails and the bee population depleting.
Well, we don't know. That's the thing. There are all sorts of explanations out there. Some people say it's certainly some of the fertilizers that are being used, some of the nicotine fertilizers that have the ability to influence memory in bees. Some people see it's the cell phone. Some people say it's the genetically modified crops. Everybody has an explanation, and if they do know, they're certainly not telling us, but I'm very, very concerned. Now, certainly the chemtrails have been going on for a long time, and ordinarily, as far as we can figure, what they're spraying is something that has bismuth and aluminum in it, which, and I really believe that a lot of this has to do with this whole idea of creating a greenhouse effect, and we know that certainly Edward Teller's written about that, and we have a 4-tape set on chemtrails where we actually go into some of the references. People can look it up. There are all sorts of documents that have been written about this idea of influencing the global temperature by actually doing this stratospheric spraying. Now, certainly, is it possible if they are spraying aluminum or bismuth and whoever knows what else? They even talked about putting tungsten, pardon me, was it tungsten, or no, titanium, I think, into this. Is it possible that this is getting into the ground or drifting to the earth and contaminating the bees? I have no idea, but certainly is a possibility. All of these are very real possibilities, and some people talk about mites, you know, that attack the beehives. Other people talk about the funguses that attack the beehives. Other people talk about the fact that they move the hives around so frequently that the bees get confused. They get lost, and when they get to a new location, they don't know where the hive is. I just don't believe that. I believe that God has given these little creatures an amazing memory, that they've always gotten back to the hives until recently. Something has happened that destroys their memory. I have no idea what it is, and maybe it is chemtrails. But certainly the chemtrails are real, you know, and yet, of course, those of us who believe in chemtrails are, you know, are certainly labeled as wackos by everybody else, but certainly I think our 4-tape set's on this, and we carry a new book, I believe it's called Weather Warfare, that goes into at least what we know, and certain things we can say, and some things we have to just say, we don't know what it is, but who knows? Your guess on the bees is as good as mine.
Yeah, I was listening also to, I think his name is Chuck Chrismeyer.
Yes, uh-huh.
And he was mentioning, I thought he had a pretty good point on the bees pulling out. He was reading, I believe it was in Isaiah, where if if you didn't keep the Lord as your Lord and you walked away from Him, then He would not prosper you with agricultural blessing. And He made a tie to the bees being the foundation of that agricultural blessing, where the Lord would just remove them. So I don't know. I was thinking about the chemtrails and the bee population. I know that there are times where our kids have sore throats for no reason, or we do, and don't know why.
Well, you see, we don't know. I mean, the viruses go all around all the time. You know, whenever I take a plane trip, I always tend to get a sore throat or cold for a few days. I do take some of these various things to boost my immunity. So there are all sorts of viruses out there, and we never know when one of them may have been genetically engineered, or certainly other ones may be just, acts of God.
Yeah.
But I think we just have to prepare ourselves for some very difficult times, because I honestly believe that God is going to bring His judgment upon this nation. And, of course, one of those things I think will be through famine. I think another will be a lawlessness. I think that there's a mass insanity that's gripping our nation as more and more people, adopt this concept of the secret. I don't know if you know that, but this concept put forward by Rhonda Burns, it tells you that you can have anything in the world you want to. All you have to do is use the law of attraction. And of course, this is simply an introduction to Demon Possession 1A, and it really isn't very funny. And
yeah, I think I'll
skip that
course.
How many people have fallen for it? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to make it funny. I was going to say I think I'll skip that course.
I hope you do. Actually, one of our good supporters just called us today. From the east to tell us that her son had just come home. He had just got the secret. He was just so excited about it. Now he was going to be able to get rich by applying the law of attraction. Well, anyway, certainly we're involved in a spiritual battle, and we're going to have to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. And one of these days, maybe we'll learn what chemtrails are about. We got a lot of possible explanations. I'm not sure we have any of the accurate ones.
On your four tape set, is it possible to spread virus or some kind of biological agent through chemtrail?
We don't know, but I would think it would certainly be very possible. The other thing is, of course, it would be possible to spread a vaccine. Could be used for good or evil, and certainly one of the explanations that is given by government officials when they've been asked. Within the military anyway, is that they're using the chemtrails to disseminate vaccines to protect us from something or other. Now, I don't necessarily believe that, but I think the fact that they would use that as an explanation, and I've heard this from people on the East Coast and West Coast, suggests to me that the government knows what it's all about and is simply concealing the truth. Hey, anything else you want to say before we let you go there, Bruce?
No, sir. Have a great night.
God bless. Thanks very much. And let's go to Bruce in Spokane. Hi, Bruce. How are you doing?
Hey, okay.
Do you have a question or comment?
Pardon?
Do you have a question or comment?
No, I don't. It's just to kind of expand on his Kathy O'Brien.
Okay.
Mark Phillips.
Okay, what do you want to say?
He's covering the map tonight.
I'm sorry, what the?
Oh, he's covering the map tonight.
Oh, are you listening to the program?
Yeah, I'm actually on Global Star.
Okay, fine. I guess they're playing it now. It's basically, of course, so that was the last hour's program. Was there anything you wanted to say? I thought that it was a fascinating program. I always enjoy Mark, and I thought he brought up a lot of fascinating things. Anything you wanted to say on it at all, Bruce?
Oh, yes. This is some feedback on the radio here, a little delay here, and I was kind of confused between listening to you. Well, I was commenting on Kathy O'Brien because just like you, I have seen a marked transformation in her from her first videotapes, and I'm not even sure when she started that. I think it was the early 90s.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and right now we've got Bruce in Spokane, and he was talking about Kathy O'Brien. And so go ahead. What were you going to say, Bruce?
Well, I'm not exactly sure when I first heard her. I think it was in the early 90s. And it was, I mean, I was actually stunned at what she had to say. And just as so many other people, they deny the information that they're hearing, saying it's crazy woman syndrome, that there's something like this, that there, it was so fantastic and outlandish, her story, that it couldn't be possibly be true. But like so many, or actually so few other people, I did some legwork and followed it up and went on my own journeys to find out these things and how they coincided with so many things that were happening. And I said, this woman bears listening to. And so I tried to follow, pick up her movies whenever she had a secondary interview, because she had several interviews that were taped. And I picked them up over the years. And I just got the last videotape that she taped. And there's a marked transformation in her personality that is so much clearer.
Yeah.
I'm just really, you know, it's very pleasant to see her, because the last time that she... previous time she's talked, she was so disjointed in it, and the bits of information came up. Well, the fascinating thing is, when you are telling people these things, you become the object of their derision. Not necessarily the person that was talking about this, or the subject of your medic. The individual that brings these things up becomes the object of derision of other people. They don't want to hear these things.
You're right. And do you know why they don't want to hear it?
Because it's very uncomfortable.
And I think there's also this, I think there are several other things. I think there's a spiritual blindness. And then I think that many people are victims of mass mind control.
Oh, I don't watch television. I'm one of the few people that you could bring on the last 6 months of news, and I said, I don't watch it because I know it's untrue.
Well, our job is just to keep trying to tell people, and with the realization that it's not up to us to make them understand. That's up to the Lord. Our job is to inform them. If they don't want to hear, that's their problem. But if you can convince people of what we're saying, you know, it can transform their lives, and maybe you won't convince them. But maybe a week from now, or a month from now, or a year from now, somebody else will tell them. And they'll suddenly realize that what you said was true. So what we're doing is cumulative. Hold for just a minute as we bring other stations on board.
All right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And we have Paul, we'll call, is waiting patiently in Ohio. And, Kristen, we do have one or two other lines open. But right now we have Bruce in Spokane. And he's simply saying that so often, as he tries to talk to people and tell them about the things we talk about here, that he becomes the subject of derision. It sounds so outlandish, and yet, of course, other things are true. And anybody who's studied this, as Bruce has, realizes that they have been these CIA mind control experiments. As we pointed out, we have the CIA files, 18,000 pages of files on the CD-ROM, which is available through Radio Liberty and of course, the Church Committee hearings back in the 70s and the hearings on the behavioral modification and MKUltra. So we've got all the documentation, but they have to have a real incentive to want to read these things, and we have to really make people understand it's important. I really think, Bruce, that we're heading into a period of increasing violence and uncertainty with the collapse of the dollar and an increasing tempo of violence and terrorism in America. And as things get worse, people are going to begin looking for answers. And that's why it's important that you and so many of our other listeners are there to begin to be able to offer people answers to the problems that are there. I hope I'll still be on the radio. If I'm not, then you're going to have to pick up in my absence and utilize what you've learned to get other people educated.
Well, we'll do. I mean, I'm still the guy with the tinfoil hat, at least that's what people say, of course. But I do have some people that are,
into the little orb of influence, at least that they listen politely. Some of them do that weren't there before.
Then you should be very enthused that you do have listeners. So,
well, I read, and I must say that you've suggested a tremendous amount of books and stuff that I have picked up. You had Tal Brook from the Spiritual Counterfeits Project on one night. I was impressed with him. I subscribed to his publication and bought his books that he published, Avatar Night, As the World Will Become One, etc., and reading these. You mentioned Economic Hitman, one of the best books I've read in 5 years. I've already passed that on to other people. And that was an astounding book.
Yes, in fact, we have a 14th.
But it hit on the head the things that I'd been thinking. That I've seen these things going on. My travels around the world with the U.S. military, I have seen the, you know, what we have caused from this country in other countries. And yes, Halliburton runs the world. Seen it in Iraq. It's amazing. Brown and Root, Halliburton, yeah, it's stunning. And it's getting worse over there. And I've got a draft-age son that didn't mind his father and signed up for the draft, and I'm shaking in my shoes about that.
Well, he has no choice but to sign up for the draft, but the thing is that...
Well, he does have a choice. If he does not accept government benefits, he doesn't have to sign up for the draft.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. Unless he's... If he had a government grant for school, he'd have to sign up for the draft.
Okay.
If he accepted some form of government aid, he'd have to sign up for the draft.
All right. Well, has he signed up for the draft?
He has, but he's not accepting any government aid because he was told and believed someone else that he had to sign up for the draft.
Okay.
And he's my only son.
Well, I'll tell you what, I certainly hope he does not get called up. Fortunately, we don't have the draft yet, but don't let him volunteer.
Well, I know how he doesn't have to volunteer even if he is drafted.
Right. Well, we can talk about that comes up. Give me a call off the air. I'll tell you one or two tricks I've learned. Anyway,
well,
anything else?
Not at this time. You've covered the gamut, the bases, etc. Like that, I could talk on several of the subjects. I suppose that book, The Secret, will be carried around under people's arms like The Purpose-Driven Church.
Well, of course, we put together a pretty good four-tape set on that, and we've got, I'm not in a position to tell you right now, but we'll tell you very shortly some of the things that we're going to be doing or working with people to counter The Secret and let them know the truth. But we do have a very good four-tape set called The Secret Behind the Secret. So,
that'll be an interesting one.
I believe my talk on The Forbidden Secret was the talk I gave before I'd ever heard of Rhonda Burns, but The Forbidden Secret goes into this, the fact there is a secret. It's been passed down for 5,000 years. Mm-hmm. Certainly it was known to Plato and to Alexander the Great and to Aristotle and all the great leaders of the world in the past, and certainly known to Thomas Edison. But, you know, the last thing that you want to do is access it. You want to know it's there, but you would never want to try to use it. Hey, we'll let you go, but The Forbidden Secret, it's a new DVD. I think it's pretty good. But
okay, great. It'll be another something for me to ingest.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Okay,
bye.
Well, let's go to Paul, who's calling us from Ohio. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Well, reality, you assume the hate crime bill will get rid of all that.
I gotta speak up there a little bit.
I was going to ask the doctor if you
speak up just a little bit to your office.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know anything about proto-gene-HIV?
I really don't. I know a lot about HIV, but I don't know anything about photogenesis HIV.
For GMO crops.
Well, I'm sorry. Now, what about GMO crops? I mean, what is HIV? What is HIV?
Modified crops.
I'm sorry, what?
Putting what they call a proto-gene.
No, I really don't
know. With HIV and the genetically modified crops.
No, I really don't know. I never heard of that, and I don't think they're doing it.
You don't?
Nope, I don't. But thanks very much for calling. Sydney, They're not putting HIV into the crops. In fact, the story of HIV is really an amazing thing, because HIV, the virus, retrovirus, is certainly only part of the picture of the AIDS epidemic. The other part, which you're never going to hear about, is mycoplasma. And literally, well over 90%, in fact, according to the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology that holds the patent for this genetically modified mycoplasm, they claim 100% of AIDS cases have this mycoplasm. It's a mycoplasm incognitus, which has been genetically modified, and that's certainly covered in a book that we carry, written by Dr. Garth Nicholson, entitled Project Daylily, and that apparently was the name, the code name that was given by the CIA to this program of creating these genetically modified diseases, the genetically modified mycoplasm. And of course, many people, of course, have chronic fatigue syndrome, and this is in many instances is a mycoplasm disease. Almost 50% of the people who have chronic fatigue will have this mycoplasm. Many people refer to it as HIV negative AIDS, and of course, these people have an altered immune system. They of course just have no energy at all. Certainly the disease can attack all of the organs in their body, and there are over a million Americans who have chronic fatigue, and this is one of those amazing new diseases. There are about 2 million people who have fibromyalgia, which is a kissing cousin, is part of the same spectrum of disease, and many of these people have this as well, and we cover this in some of our four tape sets. We have a four tape set on chronic fatigue syndrome, which is well worthwhile getting and analyzing, and then certainly the excellent book by Dr. Garth Nicholson, Project Daylily. But the AIDS epidemic, which is really having such a devastating effect throughout the world, is a combination disease. There's the HIV, and then of course there's this mycoplasma. It was Luc Montagnier, the man who discovered HIV, who worked at the Pasteur Institute, who first suggested that this was a dual disease. Now, we don't talk very much about that here in the United States today. But, of course, HIV is not a solitary. It's not just you get HIV and you get the disease. You get HIV and mycoplasm, and then you get the disease. And it's the mycoplasm that has such a destructive effect on the body, because it infiltrates all of your cells. It gets in, destroys the mitochondrial function, and of course influences the ability to actually fight disease. It's a combination. It's not simply one HIV. It's HIV plus mycoplasm that gives you the syndrome. And the fact that most doctors do not recognize that simply is a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you'd like to give us a call here late on Friday night. But if you stop and look at the AIDS epidemic, you have to realize that we've lost well over 570,000 Americans have died of this terrible disease, which I call in my book AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. It's a book I wrote probably in the early 90s, and it basically goes into the background of the epidemic and my effort to address this as a public health issue. At the time I wrote the book, I didn't understand this was genetically created disease. I did not understand it was all about population control. I knew there was another agenda, but certainly as far as the public health aspects of the disease, and of course my experience going to the Centers for Disease Control and of course leading the battle in California and certainly throughout the country trying to address the disease as a public health issue, why of course the book has no parallel. So if you're interested in the book AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, why we probably got out almost 30,000 copies of the book. Not too bad for a book with that was blocked at every turn. In fact, every time we'd get it listed in books in print, somebody would come and take it off of books in print, and of course they would simply say the book is out of print, not available. And of course we still have quite a few copies. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, is must reading to understand the politics of the AIDS disease. And then of course the book Emerging Viruses by Len Horowitz and Project Daylily by Dr. Garth Nicholson would complete the triumvirate of books you should be reading to understand this terrible disease and the horrible effect it's having throughout the world. It's estimated that worldwide about 30 million people have died. Probably 30 million people are infected, and about 50 million have died from this disease. Or maybe it's 50 million infected and 30 million people have died, but this disease is having a terrible effect in Africa. And the disease is genetically modified so that it will attack blacks. It attacks blacks much more than it does whites. It's about 10 blacks to every one white with this disease. 10 times as many blacks will get the disease as whites because there's genetic differences in this disease. Of course, attacks, you know, people who have certain types of genetic structure in their body, which white people don't. In fact, it is because blacks have all of this genetic makeup, and whites have lost part of it. Don't ask me why, but that's the way it is. And so if you go to Africa today and you go into a place like Botswana, you will find that of the pregnant women there, and they test them regularly, why 46% of the pregnant women in Botswana are HIV infected. They're all going to die, as then we find in places like Malawi and Swaziland and other places where the experimental hepatitis B vaccine was administered. Just devastating the numbers of people, probably in the neighborhood of maybe 30-35% of the population are HIV infected. They're all going to die. Certainly in Africa, it's about 25% of the adult population. In Zimbabwe, this tragic state, under the Mugabe, probably 25-30% of the black population is infected. You talk to people who live in those countries, I mean, they can't even keep up with the coffins to put the bodies in. I mean, there are funerals, large numbers of funerals every day because so many people are dying of the disease. And it is part of the population control program that was put forward back in 1974 in something called National Security Study Memorandum 200, released in 1974 over the name of Henry Kissinger. Why NSSM talked about the major thrust of American foreign policy would be population control. But you see, you can't tell the world that. If you told the population of why, they would be furious. They would be, you know, never trust anybody working for government again. So you must lie to them. You must never let them know. The common people must never know, and certainly the blacks must never know, although many of them suspect what's going on and suspect they're being targeted, but we label them, of course, as paranoid, and they just don't understand. Well, we're there from America, and we're there to help them, and we've got to give them all these free medicines, which will cause their immune system to decompensate, and they'll die a lot earlier. And then we have all sorts of vaccination programs, and of course we give the vaccines, but we use dirty needles, and we give them hepatitis B, and we give them hepatitis C, and we give them AIDS. And have you ever wondered why almost 2 billion people in third world countries have contracted hepatitis B? Why in China today there are 120 million people who are chronic carriers of hepatitis B, and almost everybody in China, certainly all the children, have had hepatitis B. They're not all carriers, but so many of them carry the disease, and the reason for it is because the vaccinations were done with dirty needles. Almost every child in a third world nation has had hepatitis B, and many have become chronic carriers, and many have died of it. How did that happen? Why it came into vaccination using dirty needles? And oh shucks, we just had no idea that that you could spread the disease by using dirty needles. If you believe that, you believe anything. No, they knew exactly what they were doing. There is a genocidal program. It is well advanced today. If you have not yet seen my material on planned population reduction, it's a DVD we did. We have all the documentation for it. Then, of course, we have our four-tape set on population control. We have our video on population control. We have Dr. Abe's excellent video entitled Autism, Mercury Autism, and the Global Population Agenda. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course it's a little short on calls. It's late on Friday night, and I'm sure that lots of people have gone to bed. But anyway, we're just talking about population control, talking about AIDS, talking about the terrible things happening throughout the world. It is American policy by banning DDT back in 1973. It's resulted in the deaths of somewhere in the neighborhood of close to 100 million people, primarily in third world nations. About 300 to 500 million people a year contract malaria in third world nations because we're not letting them use DDT. In fact, if they use DDT, we cut off their access to money from the West. And so most of these countries have knuckled under. Why? Why, because when we give money to these countries, why, it's stolen by the politicians, so they put pressure on the people to keep them from using DDT. And only recently, of course, has the World Health Organization come out and said, oh, shucks, we were wrong. DDT is really very safe. It can be used to spray rooms, and if you spray a room with that, you don't need mosquito netting or anything else. Why? The mosquitoes just will not enter the room that's been spread by DDT. You only have to spray that room a couple of times a year, and you can cut back on 80 to 90% of the malaria infections. And so they're in South Africa and some parts of Africa. Now, after we've killed almost 100 million people, why we're going to allow them to begin spraying the rooms? Isn't that nice? Now, you have to understand that about 3 million people a year die of malaria. Here in the United States, because they control the media, why, of course, they will tell you it's only 1 million people, but it's always been 3 million people until recently. You can go up, however fortunate you have the Internet. So Google it, go up on the Internet and Google in malaria, 3 million deaths a year, and you'll find that the figure we're giving is fairly accurate. Nobody knows really how many die, but it's assumed about 3 million people a year die, and over a period of 33 years, that would be in the neighborhood of 100 million people. And of course, the 50 million or so that have died of AIDS. And so our program are really working really very, very efficiently. Of course, we're giving women in third world countries contraceptive vaccines. They're hidden in the tetanus toxoid we've given to women of childbearing ages. We go in there and we tell them we're here to help you. But it's interesting, we never want to give the vaccines to men, only to women of childbearing age, many of course, who will immediately begin having miscarriages and lose the children within their wombs. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Somebody had called. David wanted us to mention the hate crime bill, H.R. 1592. And SB 1105. That hate crime bill, H.R. 1592, and Senate Bill 1105. And let me suggest that you call your congressman and senator if you're concerned about the hate crime bill and the implication of this is going to have. And we're assuming, of course, this is federal legislation. The number to call, if you'd like to call, is 202-224-3121. We're not telling you what to do. We're just suggesting if you are interested in the legislation, Why, of course, you can call 202-224-3121. And, of course, if you care about homosexuals, you would tell them what they're doing is wrong. But you won't be allowed to do that, certainly, if much of this legislation gets passed. So let me just suggest that you have still have the right to let your congressman know how you feel. And if you feel very strongly, contact your congressman or your senator if you agree. And if you'd like more information, go up on the Internet and check out H.R. 1592 and S.B. 1105. Well, this is the time I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us. If you're interested in learning more about some of the books we talked about, certainly my book, AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, Len Horowitz's wonderful book, Emerging Viruses, certainly Dr. Garth Nicholson is one of the leading scientists in the world with over 600 peer-reviewed articles, his book, Project Eulalie, we certainly strongly recommend, and of course the DVDs we've been talking about. And as we do have Dr. Ayub's excellent DVD talk he gave here in our area on mercury, autism, and the global population agenda. It's available in either DVD or VHS format. And if you order it, of course, you'll receive a CD-ROM with thousands of pages of documentation. And we just distribute that right along with it because we think it's so vitally important. People have access to the scientific studies and reports that will help you better to understand what indeed is going on. We need your help to get the information out. We are destroying the minds of our children. One in every six American children has some sort of a neurodevelopmental abnormality. Certainly one in 150 children has autism. Neil Miller has an excellent book out on vaccines and autism, which of course we do carry. And of course if you get that book, we'll be glad to provide along with that. Book called Why Children Die, going into the background of SIDS, the sudden infant's death syndrome, which is totally unnecessary. But of course, you're not being told that. Why aren't you being told that? Because there are too many people in the world, and they're going to have to die of something. Why not die of sudden infant death syndrome? And if you think that is a terrible and crass thing to say, let me suggest a four-tape set called The New Order of the Barbarians, which quotes Dr. Richard Day, who actually was the medical director of Planned Parenthood, is saying there are too many people in the world, and they're going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. We have the treatments for cancer, and this was back in 1969, and we will keep them suppressed. That's The New Order of the Barbarians. I certainly recommend it to you. And if you'd like a free copy of my January newsletter, which contains the Fitzgerald Report, which talks about the cancer treatments which have been suppressed here in the United States for the last 55 years. And that's the Fitzgerald Report. You can get it on our website at RadioLiberty.com. And if you don't have access to the web, we'll send it to you. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they are suppressing treatments for cancer. Why would it?